Our choir director, Holly, had a death in her family this week, so the choir, which typically sings at this point, has a Sunday off. I invite you to listen for the Word of God in your own life and let it find you. This is a little bizarre passage, and so I invite you to think about the journeys you've been on, your journey with God, with other people, and where is family, and where is God? Listen to the scriptures. It comes from Luke, the second chapter. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as usual, for the festival. When the festival had ended, they started to return, and the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents didn't know it. Assuming that he was with a group of travelers, they went a day's journey, and then they started to look for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, as only a mother could say, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." And Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching? Did you not know that I would be in God's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. His mother treasured these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in the divine and human favor. This is the word of life. Thanks be to God. Donna did ask you that question about how many of you have ever been left behind. I was amazed. Show me again how many of you have been. That's a lot of people. I was on a trip with my parents, and we stopped halfway to my grandfather's house to go to the restroom. And I came out of the restroom, I think I was 10, and they were gone. And they finally realized it and came back. But, you know, that's a special wounded part of me because I'm a middle child. I am. And people say, "Oh, stop talking about being a middle child." But if you've ever read anything on birth orders, the section on the middle children, it's the shortest section there is. Even in the research, we get undercut. I know you're going, "Marsha, Marsha, Marsha." But there is a sense of anxiety and fear if you've been left behind. If you've ever had an animal get out of the house, get out of the yard, a dog. How many of you have lost a dog? That's the worst feeling in the world, knowing that they don't know to look when they cross the street. They could be hit. Someone could take them. It's troubling. But of course, Luke shows us who Jesus is. He does two stories of the temple. Right before this, Jesus is being offered as a child for the blessing. And then he's 12 years old. He's now a man. He has done his bar mitzvah. And now he's coming into his own. And Luke shows us the story. There's so little written about the life of Jesus. One scholar said that if everything was put together that we know about the life of Jesus, we'd have probably 3 months of his life altogether. And that's a lot to guess at. But things he did teach us. He taught us enough to keep us busy for the rest of our lives. This love your neighbor stuff is fun until you actually have to do it. Forgiving your enemy, nice idea. But then you have to get on your knees and do it when it happens. And we all have our own issues that we have to work at, right? I mean, I was given kind of a forked tongue and a dark sense of humor. And I took out a general the other day at the VA who crossed my path. He is in now what they call the Wounded Warrior Program, I believe. But I have to watch that. You know, God called me to preach, not to take out generals. And so I have to get down on my knees and do this. Dr. Martin Luther King, in 1954, at the old age of 25, preached a sermon on this text at Second Baptist Church in Detroit. And what he said about this text was, he concentrated on Mary and Joseph and said, sometimes you have to go back in order to go forward. Sometimes you have to revisit things in order to move forward. And that's what therapy is about, right? You have a wound, you go and talk to someone, you revisit that issue, you look at it, find healing, and then you can move forward. Sometimes we have to go back in order to move forward. I know last Christmas I had the blessing to be able to go home and sit on the floor with my mom, and we went through all of these old photo albums, and she told me who I was so we can go forward. You as a church have started that process as you began looking for your settled pastor. You've started that visioning process. You've started talking about where you have been. And if you were at the New Beginnings group, there was a bell curve. And this was a growing church, and this is a church starting to slide down. Most people said we were here. And I think you're absolutely right. But you're here in order that you can start coming up here. As I said to Mike and Suzanne, this is not a dying church. It's not a dying church. You had 10 members join since I have been here in September. You've had 2 adult baptisms since I have been there. That is not the sign of a dying church. The issues to work on? Absolutely. Got to keep pulling together? Absolutely. Is this church going to be a dynamic church? Absolutely. And here's why. You're important to each other. And that's great. That's what a church should be. But there are transgendered kids in Cushing, Oklahoma. There's a young gay boy in Red Rock. There are people who don't know who they are. There's an old lesbian couple living in Perry, Oklahoma, and they need the voice of a real loving church that not only says, but actually puts into practice, no matter who you are, or where you are on your journey, you are welcome here. There are thinking, masterful minds that are heterosexual people, and they need a place where they can come and worship and not have to give up their minds. No one should have to choose between their sexuality and God. And no one should have to choose between being an intellectual and God. And this is the church, one of the only churches I've ever known in my life who brings that all together. You do. You do. And I have been tough on you. Yeah, I have. A couple times. But it's because I'm being your coach. I'm not going to let you settle for second best. Because you deserve to be the best. Because that's who you really are. You are the best. And I'm going to keep pushing you till you get there. And you can call me everything but a child of God. I don't really care. I did not go into ministry to be liked. I went into ministry to serve God. So you are going to have to start going back a bit on the journey in order to be able to move forward. You're going to have to talk about what happened in the past, what you did, what was great, what didn't work, what you'd like to see again. And those meetings will take place in house meetings. From our gathering last Thursday, we will get a report. It'll be a 40-page report. And they will give us 4 suggestions of things we might consider doing for the future. We don't have to, but there are four suggestions. There are going to be some stark things that you're going to have to look at and face up to. We can't live in denial. We're going to have to see what needs to be done and then start working on it. And then you will meet in small groups, and together we will create a vision for this church. And then once you do that, once you get the vision, then a search committee can be formed. I want you to know I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And I think you need to know that. I think you need to know that. My contract is up in September. A couple of months ago, Edith Guffey asked me, are you going to re-sign your contract? And I said, yeah. I mean, I don't think that God's called me away from here. So I just want you to know, for good or for ill, I'm going to be with you in this process. Thank you. As long as I feel like God has called me here. You have a lot of work to do. You have a lot of work to do. But you can do it. You can do it. You have talent. You have energy. You have passion. You have love. You're almost any minister's dream. And whoever comes and takes my place, we just want to set them up to be able to continue the journey. So as we continue our journeys and you have to go back in order to go forward, just know that God's Spirit is with you as well. Think about it. Amen.